Radio Daily for
not Moon Day. No more of that nonsense. We can just cross that right the hell off. Oh, and by the way, no more February.
Made it through.
We did. So welcome to the 1st of March. We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing it to you today, the man that can break it down to a level that you can understand. It's podcasting for Siegfried.
The word technology means magic. It's basically anything that's really cool that you don't know how it works.
See? This is how it needs to be done to me. I'm the guy that, well, I've got opinions about, work and stuff of that nature. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I don't want anything to do with this place. This place is run by a bunch of children.
Children. What happened this fine day there, sir?
In 1692, Sarah Good, Sarah Osborne, and Tituba, Reverend Paris's Caribbean slave, are accused of using witchcraft, marking the beginning of the Salem witch trials.
No, they just do a picture of you as a jerk because you are. 1872, Edward Drinker Cope reads his paper to the American Philosophical Society in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in which he gives the name Ornithochirus to the remains of a creature with large wings. However, Cope's rival, Othniel Charles Marsh, beats him to the print by publishing a paper in the American Journal of Science earlier using the name Pterodactyls.
Ooh. Yellowstone is established as the first national park in the world.
1873, E. Remington and Sons in Lyon, New York, begin production of the first practical typewriter. Don't ask what an impractical one looked like.
1893, Nikola Tesla gives the first public demonstration of the radio in St. Louis, Missouri.
1896, Henri Becquerel discovers radioactivity when he develops the photographic plate he had left in a desk drawer and finds that it is fogged with the image of uranium compound crystals that were resting on it. What?
1912, over Kenlock Field in St. Louis, Albert Berry makes the first in-flight parachute jump from a plane. He jumps from a Benoit Pusher biplane piloted by Tony Yannis at an altitude of 1,500 feet.
I don't think any of those names are real. 1921, Harry Houdini patents a diver suit.
Really? Huh. 1929, the term supercomputing is coined by the New York World in the title of an article about several large tabulators built by IBM for Columbia University.
1936, the first public video phone service is launched in Germany by Postminister, which just sounds nefarious, even though it's not.
Same day, same year, Warner Brothers Pictures releases the black and white horror film The Walking Dead. Directed by Michael Curtis and starring Boris Karloff, Edmund Gwenn, and Marguerite Churchill.
And construction is completed on the Hoover Dam. I'll have all your damn questions answered over here.
We're going to get some damn bait. 1941, radio station W47NV goes into operation in Nashville, Tennessee, becoming the first commercial FM radio station in the United States.
1954, the hydrogen bomb, codenamed Castle Bravo, is detonated in a test over the Pacific archipelago of Bikini Atoll, a part of the Marshall Islands in the Pacific Ocean. A force equivalent to 20 megatons, a million tons of TNT, it's the most powerful of all U.S. thermonuclear bomb tests. Believed that the bomb is up to 1,000 times more powerful than the atomic bomb that destroyed Hiroshima.
1955, the San Francisco Chronicle publishes an article reporting the results of a University of California survey study that Americans spend more money on comic books than is spent on textbooks in all the country's elementary schools and high schools combined.
And I kept that tradition alive in the 90s. 1960, John McCarthy releases the Lisp Programmer's Manual, marking the release of the first recursive and symbolic programming language. Considered the mother tongue of artificial intelligence, Lisp will be one of the most enduring high-level languages ever created.
1961, President JFK establishes the Peace Corps.
1966, the unmanned Soviet space probe Venera 3 crashes into the night side of Venus, becoming the first spacecraft to land on another planet.
1968, Huntington, Indiana becomes the first city in the United States to implement 911 as the universal emergency telephone number. The system is implemented by AT&T, and Huntington was chosen to be the first such city because it is the hometown of Democratic U.S. Representative John Edward Rusch, who sponsored the legislation which enacted the system.
1976, less than 2 months after being married, Steve Wozniak, age 25, completes the basic design of his first computer. The next day, Wozniak demonstrates the design to the Homebrew Computer Club, where he meets Steven Jobs, who will realize the design's potential and will convince Wozniak to produce the printed circuit boards to sell rather than giving away schematics for free. The computer will later become known as the Apple I.
1977, 1 year to the day after Steve Wozniak completes the design of the first computer, his wife files for divorce.
See, there needs to be a movie. Something happened there, and they're not telling us. 1980, the Voyager 1 probe confirms that Janus, a moon of Saturn, exists.
1982, the Russian spacecraft Venera 13 lands on the planet Venus and begins returning data.
1985, the Amusement Showcase International Show, the world's leading trade event for coin-operated amusement industry, is held over 3 days in Chicago, Illinois.
1993, Nintendo releases the 3D shooter Star Fox for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System in Europe as Starwing. It is the first title to feature the Super FX chip, a coprocessor that serves as a graphics accelerator.
It kind of faked 3D well. 1994, the comedy TV series Weird Science, starring John Mallory Asher, Michael Montessori, Vanessa Angel, and Lee Tergesen, premieres on the USA Network and will run for 5 seasons and 88 episodes.
1996, the 888 area code is introduced for toll-free calls to meet the increasing demand for 1-800 numbers.
1997, French electronics manufacturer Thomson puts demonstration DVD players into branches of Fnac Entertainment department stores in France with a suggested retail price of 4,990 francs or 878 US dollars.
Yeah, DVD players were expensive when they first came out.
Never forget, Apex was the first one under 100 bucks.
2002, NASA launches the Space Shuttle Columbia on its last successful mission, during which it will perform maintenance on the Hubble Space Telescope. It is the shuttle's final successful mission. On its next mission, the shuttle will be destroyed.
2003, the Alias Systems Corporation is honored with an Oscar Award for scientific and technical achievement by the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences for the development of the Maya 3D computer graphics software.
2006, Wikipedia reaches its 1 millionth article.
2008, AOL discontinues the Netscape web browser. The crying that geeks did. Birthdays?
Ron Weasley is 42. He, of course, is Weasley's Wizard Wheezes. And he's also an Auror.
Jensen Ackles is 44 from Dark Angel, Smallville, Supernatural, My Bloody Valentine, Jason Todd in Under the Red Hood.
Mark Paul Gosselaar is 48 from Saved by the Bell, NYPD Blue, Pitch, and Franklin and Bash.
Love Franklin and Bash. Jack Davenport's 49 from Coupling, Pirates of the Caribbean, Flash Forward, Kingsman, The Secret Service.
I think he also had a vampire show called Ultraviolet over in the UK.
Huh.
I'd be thinking about somebody else. Javier Bardem is 53 from Collateral, No Country for Old Men, Skyfall, and of course, Pirates. Dead men tell no tales.
George Eads is 55 from CSI, the Evel Knievel TV movie they did, Flash on Young Justice, and Jack on MacGyver.
Brian Batt is 59, Jeffrey, Mad Men, and the Scream series.
Tim Daly is 66 from Wings, Superman, the animated series, JT on Sopranos, and was on Private Practice.
Ron Howard is 68 from The Andy Griffith Show, Happy Days, Arrested Development, and I think he's directed a few flicks.
One or three. Dirk Benedict is 77 from Starbuck and the original Battlestar Galactica, Face on the A-Team, and the film Ruckus, which was Rambo like 2 years before Rambo.
Roger Daltrey is 78. He was Eric in the Highlander series and Vampirella.
Vampire. 1910, David Niven, Around the World in 80 Days, The Pink Panther, the 1967 Casino Royale, Vampira, and Murder by Death.
1926, Robert Clary, Le Beau on Hogan's Heroes.
1935, Robert Conrad, Wild Wild West, Baba Black, Sheep, and Jingle All the Way.
1947, Alan Thicke, from Growing Pains, Not Quite Human, wrote the theme song to Growing Pains and Facts of Life. And, of course, Thick of the Night.
I think he also might have wrote Different Strokes.
He might have. He did a bunch of TV shows in the 80s.
He knew
70s and 80s, the theme songs. CBS has FBI, CBS News coverage, State of the Union address.
ABC has the State of the Union and the Republican response. One's a comedy.
Can't we just watch the Russian stuff and just get what they're going to say ahead of time? NBC... has new American Auto, Grand Crew, and NBC News Special.
Huh, wonder what they're going to show. Fox has new The Resident and State of the Union 2022.
CW, Lois and Chrissy plan to look further into the inverse society. Jordan notices something suspicious in Jonathan's backpack. Lieutenant Mitch Anderson finds himself under fire for the weakening of the Defense Department's relationship with Superman on a new Superman and Lois and a new Naomi.
AMC has the A-Team. Da, 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 da. I'm talking the movie.
For Dirk Benedict's birthday. That's nice of them. That's a damn good movie. That's a fun time. I love it. FX. Deadpool.
FXX, your Simpsons marathon special. Edna, Lisa gets the blues and blame it on Lisa.
FXM, Mike and Dave need wedding dates. They're handsome guys. I don't know why.
BBC America's got Contact.
Sippy has Zombieland.
TBS, Swole Daddy. Issues on a new Wipeout. I don't know what's happening on that show.
TNT, probably some guy's not going to fit in some of the stuff. But TNT has basketball.
Science Channel, London's Sinister Subway on a new Strange Evidence. But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a widower and father of two daughters become suspicious of an attractive woman who he begins to spend time with after she moves across the street and helps him with the girls when her ex-husband is mysteriously found dead. Christine Chatelaine and Derek Hamilton star in Deceitful Dating.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
Kate considers renting an apartment, but she's going to need a roommate, and no one seems to be interested in taking her up on that offer. Even her daughter Cassie's like, no. I mean, look, Kate just wanted to be closer with members of the family, hoping to have a life less ordinary, but now she is playing the devil's advocate and starts putting herself down. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
No, because this week I think might actually be slightly difficult. Yay! And I tried to write a little better so people could stop Googling it. If you think you have the slightest idea where Chad and Abby are, if you've got something you want to tell us, like what's going on in your march, by all means, drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, use a voicemail. Send a text message you need the numbers of.
510-GRD-CRO.
Jackbox is going to start late on Friday. We'll talk as we get closer.
Most people think that talking about money is boring, but now more than ever, people need helpful money advice. That's why we created our show, How to Money.
We cut out the jargon and make money topics relevant and easy to understand. Our ultimate goal is to make money decisions suck less and help people positively change their financial future.
No doubt. So whether you want to save more, start investing, or just gain a better perspective on a subject that affects all of us, check out the How to Money podcast.
Find How to Money on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, listeners. This is Greg Sestero, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily.
And if you can't believe in Greg, who the hell can you believe in?
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
But you're still going to buy them. This is how it works. What's on the shelves today, sir?
Well, I believe we've in our TV aisle, we've got Masterpiece. Around the World in 80 Days.
It's not the David Niven one. It's the David Tennant one. It's still David. And classic TV, we have The Batman, the complete series. It's not the animated series. It's the other one.
Ooh, must be anime based on title alone. Dropout Idol Fruit Tart, the complete season.
Is The Order a Rabbit? Question mark. Bloom, season 3.
What the hell? In our regular movie aisle, we've got Belfast.
Flee, as in fast, not the little bzzz thing.
We've also got I'm Not Him.
Choir Girl.
The Pilot, A Battle for Survival.
Blood type, unknown.
You can get a test and that'll tell you. We've also got Demonic.
And we have Highway to Heaven. No, that's not classic TV. They've done a movie. And I don't see anyone that looks like Michael Landon. But if anything, we're going to get the story of a night of wild partying that celebrates the end of high school and turns deadly when one of the classmates is murdered, with no one having a clue who killed her. Not wanting to destroy their own lives, they bury her body, tell everyone she just ran away. And a year later, these friends are mysteriously invited to an Easter celebration. They arrive believing that the mystery that has been haunting them for the past year will finally be answered. Unfortunately, they're dead wrong. Sarah T. Cohen, Beatrice Fletcher, and somebody in a plastic Bunny Mask star in Easter Bunny Massacre.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Someone's going to get killed with a special egg. It's just that simple. Just that simple. Netflix has greenlit an 8-part UK crime thriller series adaptation of Cy Spencer's 2015 graphic novel, Bodies.
Was it about Jennifer? Something warm? Clue?
The story involves four detectives in four different London eras who find themselves investigating the same murder in Whitechapel in a conspiracy spanning 150 years.
I'm guessing at least one of them has a podcast.
The detectives include 1890s overachiever Edmund Hillinghead, 1940s dashing adventurer Carl Whiteman, 2010's kick-ass DS Sahara Hassan, and 2050's post-apocalyptic amnesiac Maplewood.
Does Maplewood at least remember the apocalypse? Otherwise, that's going to be weird. The
series is created by Torchwood writer Paul Tomlin, who is co-writing with Daniel Samuel, while Will Gould and Frith Tripodi produce, and Marco Chris Puncher and Jelly Wing is going to direct. I mean, it's got conspiracies, murder, seemingly tied together over the span of 150 years? My guess! Especially considering it's Whitechapel, the Loch Ness Monster.
In what is both unexpected and strangely unsurprising news, new information has been given on something that should have come long before now.
The Dora the Explorer Sicario crossover?
What? No. No, it's the Weird Al pinball machine.
Okay.
Weird Al's Museum of Natural Hilarity is based on the music and career of Weird Al Yankovic, the five-time Grammy Award-winning singer, musician, and actor. It features 17 Weird Al songs, over 2,000 custom call-outs from Al himself, and a software and graphics package that immerses the player into his song and lyrics. The game also features the most intricate playfield layout to date from the company P3, designed to represent a museum full of interactive and hilarious references that span all of Al's illustrious career.
Please tell me that Judy Tenuta is in there somewhere.
The pinball machine will feature these songs: Amish Paradise, Like a Surgeon, My Baloney, White and Nerdy, Word Crimes, Dare to Be Stupid, Germs, Fun Zone, Hardware Store, I'll Sue Ya, Mission Statement, Sports Song, Traffic Jam, Weasel Stomping Day, You Make Me, UHF, and of course, Harvey the Wonder Hamster.
You know, I know they can't feature all of our favorite tracks, but that's a pretty good selection right there.
The kit will cost $3,000. Although the press release notes that the base P3 machine that new customers will need to play the game retails for $8,300. Now, it's basically the hardware that features LED panels in the cabinet. So if you've ever wanted your own pinball machine, this is definitely the way to go. Now, your accountant may think it's dumb to pay so much for a modular pinball setup, but sometimes you just need to dare to be stupid.
A teenager in Nova Scotia combined two of his favorite hobbies and set a Guinness World Record in the process.
How?
By solving 211 Rubik's Cubes, all while bouncing on a pogo stick.
Wow, dude. Whoa. Save some sexual partners for the rest of us.
16-year-old Saul Halfting of Annapolis Royal successfully spent an hour and 12 minutes solving the 211 Rubik's Cubes while bouncing on his pogo stick. The Canadian teenager said he trained for 3 months before attempting the world record. He also said he started solving Rubik's Cubes around 6 years ago after a friend showed him a technique, and it blew his mind.
I can't last more than 5 seconds on a pogo stick, and I'm sure as hell never solved a Rubik's Cube, so yeah, good for him.
The moral of the story here is that if you aren't good at anything already, pick a hobby, become the best at it, and practice until you can crush a world record. Personally, I'm training for the world record for underwater pigeon line dancing. I just gotta find small enough scuba tanks.
During Avengers Endgame, Peter Quill, Star-Lord to his friends, was one of many Marvel heroes who came to Earth to stop Thanos, marking the character's first time on his home planet since he was a kid. Soon after the battle ended, Quill and the rest of the Guardians of the Galaxy left Earth with Thor. This has led some to believe that during his brief time on Earth, Quill discovered some modern music that will be featured in the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
He does seem like a Nickelback kind of guy.
Rumor! Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 will blend a short list of modern songs from Star-Lord's time on Earth post-Endgame. @moth_culture tweeted, "Nope! Quill left Earth as soon as he could. The songs are from the Zune." James Gunn replied.
Probably some Taylor Swift.
"Yeah, I just came from the set right now," Gunn replied when asked about the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 mixtape. "Just that it comes from the brown Zune that Yondu gave to Peter Quill. They aren't chosen by his mother, I can tell you that." Well, now, we've never heard what Yondu's taste in music would be, but I think he'd probably have the full catalog of the Blue Man Group.
Since 2020, it's long been speculated whether Bruce Campbell had filmed a cameo for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and it didn't help that Campbell made numerous cheeky teases at his involvement, which included an April Fool's post that joked about him making a cameo in Doctor Strange sequel as his iconic character Ash Williams from the Evil Dead franchise.
Don't. promise things that can happen.
Of course, everyone has assumed that Campbell would make a cameo ever since Sam Raimi was confirmed to direct the long-anticipated Doctor Strange sequel, but at a recent fan convention, Bruce Campbell finally confirmed that he had filmed scenes for Marvel's second Doctor Strange and even given a short description of one scene.
Ooh, is the Delta 88 in it too?
Reddit user TylerJB223 met Bruce Campbell at a convention sponsored by Armed Forces Entertainment. He attempted to paraphrase Campbell's answer, who mentioned filming multiple scenes involving a cool scene with a character that's been beloved for years.
Totally the Delta 88.
The Reddit user did not make it clear that Bruce Campbell filmed multiple scenes, not... Oh. The Reddit user did make it clear that Bruce Campbell filmed multiple scenes, not just one, so his character could be a little more than a simple cameo, like many of his other appearances in non-Evil Dead Sam Raimi drops. As for which character Campbell could have been filmed alongside, well, that's one that's been beloved for years. It doesn't narrow it down one damn bit! The only two candidates that fit the description within the film's plot could be Benedict Cumberbatch's Doctor Strange, Elizabeth Olsen's Wanda, or Patrick Stewart's Charles Xavier. Perhaps Bruce Campbell can end up being one of the members of the Illuminati hinted at in the trailer. But my bet is he's either going to be the ring announcer, or the maitre d', or Snooty Usher, which we all know was the exact same character. And that's a movie I want to see.
Yeah.
Oh, goddammit. Journey's
like, is he the same jobs? or is he like some kind of undercover hero or something like that? Does he work for S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I mean, why not both?
You know what? Ooh. You know what? Shield. With Stan Lee's passing,
yeah,
he could be the next visitor.
I don't mind that.
Watcher.
The visiting watcher is fine. Blah, 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 geekradiodaily.com. That's how that works. Drop us a note, podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, a voicemail or text message. The magic numbers are
510-GRD.
Who should Bruce Campbell play in the Marvel Universe? Tell us!
Everything we know about you guys is wrong.
What the hell are you still doing here?
Good night, suckers!
Damage averted. All systems operative.
Hello, James. Welcome. Do you like the island? My grandmother had an island. Nothing to boast of. You could walk around it in an hour. But still, it was a paradise for us. One summer, we went for a visit and discovered the place had been infested with rats. They'd come on a fishing boat and gorged themselves on coconut. So how do you get rats off an island? My grandmother showed me. We buried an oil drum and hinged the lid. Then we wired coconut to the lid as bait, and the rats would come for the coconut, and thunk, 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 they would fall into the drum. And after a month, you've trapped all the rats. But what did you do then? Throw the drum into the ocean? Burn it? No. You just leave it. And they begin to get hungry. And one by one, they start eating each other. Until there are only two left, the two survivors. And then what? Do you kill them? No. You take them and release them into the trees. But now they don't eat coconut anymore. Now they only eat rat.